Amen. Well, let's take our Bibles. And this morning, we're going to go right into our time of extended meditation on the Word as we look at Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13, and today we're going to look at one verse. Hebrews chapter 13, looking at verse 8. Hebrews chapter 13, and looking at, meditating on today, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Our fathers, we have praised the one who has broken the chains of sin and of shame and of guilt. As we have praised the one who lifts us to be called children. As we praise the one who delivers us into your presence, clean and pure. May we rejoice in him, not just because of past work, but of what he is doing even now and what he has promised to do in the days of eternity yet to come. I pray this morning, Lord, you would encourage our hearts to think much of Christ, for he is a wonderful and always will be a wonderful Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And would you be seated? It has been said that perhaps this one verse in the book of Hebrews is one the most recognizable verse. One of the more memorable verses of the book of Hebrews, if not the entire New Testament. Jesus the Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. This verse is serving a bit of transition between what has happened and what is going to happen. And if you were not with us last week we were looking at the Christian community and her leaders. And one of the things that was said in verse 7 was that you should remember, you should call to mind those who have faithfully led you in the past. And those who have faithfully led you, you should imitate them. But the thing about people in the past is that they have died away. And they might be great examples to imitate. But Jesus the Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Imitate him above all else. Remember Jesus the Christ. And then he's going to go on, as we're looking at next week, into this issue of the Christian community and its focus. We're not caught by every changing wind and every changing teaching, every new idea that comes down the pike for the church. The church is to focus on Jesus the Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. But right in the middle of that, this pivot point, this verse, it's a verse that grabs our hearts. Every once in a while when we're reading the Scriptures, There's a verse that we light upon, that we look upon, and we just sort of begin to settle upon. And verse 8 is that. And there are verses like verse 8 that sort of light upon us, that grab hold of us and grab hold of our attention. And so this morning I'm hoping that we'll meditate on verse 8 for a while. But I'm hoping that you'll meditate on it even much longer beyond just this morning. In my studies this week, I found out there was a sermon by Jonathan Edwards, who, if you're not familiar with that name, he was a pastor in the Americas before we became a nation, lived in New England, and pastored, was used of the Lord for several awakenings. Well, when his days of pastoring came to an end, he became president of Princeton. Still at that point, a place of higher learning, dedicated to training men for ministry. That and Yale and Harvard, all three started for the purpose of training men to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It was said that in his first sermon or his first address to Princeton University, he chose this text that he preached for 2 hours. That the people were astonished when the time was over, for they did not want him to stop. and only later became aware that he had preached for the 2 hours before them. Well, that is not my goal, to preach for 2 hours, though I do want you to be astonished by the Jesus that he was proclaiming. I want us to move away from this place and to be enraptured with the idea that this Jesus is not dead in a tomb. And he is not just dead in a tomb or one day will come. This Jesus is now. And he is alive in you. And if you are not alive in here, it's because Christ is not alive in you. This is one of the things I want to say immediately to you, and I'm going to repeat it at the end. One of the reasons why many Christians become dull in their hearts is because they have left Jesus to yesterday. And have forgotten the unending, exciting, unfolding adventure that Christ calls us to every single new day. He is not just going to be Lord 1,000 years from now as we're serving Him around His throne. He is Lord of my life now, and He does not go by my schedule. He is Lord and King and priest and prophet now. And His people were flocking to Him in His days in Galilee. We are to be flocking to Him even now, every single moment. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Well, as I was going through and preparing for this morning's message, I was somewhat perplexed, wonderfully surprised, not helped as much as I wanted to, by looking at other people's treatments of this passage. Because this is such a wonderful passage, you can go at this passage 1,000 different ways. And I was not helped by this consistent outline of how to treat this text. Because you can take Jesus Christ, the subject of Jesus the Christ, and go in 1,000 different ways and still be true, as long as you're grounding what you're saying and thinking about Jesus according to the Scriptures. And so this morning I'm giving you a self-proclaimed pitiful outline that I am encouraging you to go home and improve on all your days. This is the outline for us this morning, that Jesus, the Christ, is the same in His existence. He is the same in His attributes. And He is the same in His offices. He is the same in His existence. He is the same in His attributes. And He is the same in His offices. And because these are all tied in, there may be moments, I'm just going to tell you now, there may be moments when, well, didn't He just say that a little while ago? Because He is forever, who He is, or how He is, that all goes together. And so I'll do my best to sort of separate some just for the purpose of focusing on a particular area, but we must also take the whole, and so there's going to be some bleeding over. Heart is very full this morning, so I need to just sort of calm down a minute. Because I realized even this week that in my own heart, I've failed to see the ever-presentness of Christ in us. It is so painfully, disturbingly easy to put Christ off in the things He did long ago. Or to put Christ off in the promises that will yet be unfolded and miss Jesus for who He is right now. let's begin with taking a look at maybe something that is simple, but I don't want us to miss it. And that is Jesus, the Christ, is the same in His existence. Because maybe for some in this place, it needs to be said because you are not yet well versed in what the Scriptures teach. You're sort of investigating things spiritual, and you might need to hear reiterated for you that Christians believe not in a merely historical person. We do not believe in someone who once lived. We believe and put our full hope in one who even now lives, though he did live 2,000 years on the face of the earth ago, 2,000 years ago on the face of the earth. And before that, before there was even a face of the earth, this one lived and was present and spoke, so that everything that is because of the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, speaking forth existence. And then this person, the second person of the Trinity, which the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, present together as Elohim, the Father says, let us create man in our own image. Even as Jesus is there, personified in Proverbs 8, as the wisdom of God giving counsel as to how creation should be done. This one who was God before there was a creation, before there was the invention of time, the one who lived in eternity, then this God, this Word, was with God and was God, and then entered into this existence in the person of Jesus Christ. He was from eternity past and entered into His own creation. And He did live for a period of 30 to 33 years on the face of this earth. And He did minister. And He did give His life for our sins. He lived perfectly. He obeyed all the laws of God Himself because He was indeed God in human flesh. And then He did literally die on a cross. And He was literally put into a tomb. But 3 days later, He was literally raised from that same tomb. And for 40 days ministered amongst those who believed in Him. And then ascended alive in this new body that He had. Out of sight. To which the angel said that He would one day return again. And even now, this same Jesus continues to live, making intercession. Not for angels, but for you and for me. Having paid the sin penalty, the sin debt that you and I owed, He now sits at the right hand of the Father, reigning and ruling, waiting for all His enemies to be put to death, and then will fully reign and rule forever and ever. This Jesus, the same before time and in time and for all times yet to come, still exists. And this doctrine of the immutability, the unchangeableness of Christ as it touches upon His existence, because He was from eternity past and eternity now and eternity yet to come, we know that this doctrine of Christ's eternal existence marks Him out to be what? Divine. God. We as Christians do not follow a human being. We do not follow a teacher. We follow God Himself as He has come in human form in the person of Jesus the Christ. Well, Pastor Ken, why do you keep saying Jesus the Christ? Well, if I don't answer that when we get to the issue of His offices, somebody raise your hand and I'll be glad to stop and let you the Christ. Remember the Christ. And I want to point that out to you. This Jesus is the one that the book of the Revelation says in Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega. The first letter of the Greek alphabet and the last letter of the Greek alphabet. Meaning He's everything from beginning to the end. Revelation 1:17 and 18. Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. And I was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of Hades. I have the keys between life and death. And I have the keys of spiritual life and spiritual death. And they are to be found in Jesus Christ. He's not going to hand them off to somebody else when He dies. Why? Because He's ever alive. He is ever the existent one. He is Jesus the Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. He exists forever. But is He growing weaker in time? We talked a little bit about this past Wednesday as those who gathered together were helping me somewhat with the sermon preparation. And I want to move in, at this point, into His attributes. It's one thing to say that He is living forever. It's another to say He is living forever with perfect power, never diminishing power. He is never growing old, even though you and I are aging. He is beyond all that in His divinity. He does not age. He does not decay. Neither is He growing in His perfections. He is perfect. And He was perfect before time began. He was perfect while here on the earth. He is perfect now and will be forevermore. His attributes are all intact and perfectly so. His attributes are something to consider in our days on this earth, to ponder this Savior that we worship. He was wisdom before the creation of the earth, giving counsel to the Father as He and the Father and the Spirit were creating the earth as we know it. He is the treasure hold of God's wisdom. We are to come to Him if we seek wisdom. The same Jesus who was compassionate upon those who came to Him. Think of the gospel references. Think of the gospel references where Jesus looks upon a crowd and says, and He had compassion on them. Literally, his bowels were disturbed within Him. His stomach churning with empathy and sympathy and ethos for these people. He had great, passionate feelings for those who were hurting. And some of us might need to remember that Jesus is not changed. Simply because He has gone to the grave and has gone to the Father, He is not one person who was embroiled with passions for those He cared about. But now that He's on the other side of the grave, He is unfeeling and cold and numb. No, this Jesus that we see in the Scriptures, one who cares about those who are hurting, one who cares for the sinners to come to Him and find relief, to find protection for the wrath yet to come. This same Jesus still looks upon us and He is still embroiled with passions for us. This same Jesus is not going to be one day looking for His children to bring them finally and relieve them. Right now, He exists to show compassion upon those who are His. Was He merciful towards those sinners who cried out to Him? Do we imagine that somehow Jesus there on the cross, and one of the thieves turned to Him and He says, think of me when you come into your kingdom. And Jesus shows mercy to the sinner who cries out. Do you think that somehow Jesus over the years has grown cold or dull to the cries of those who wish to find relief from the judgment that's due to their hearts? If you think He's grown cold or dull towards anyone, look at verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same. The same mercy, the same compassion, the same power, the same willingness to forgive. This same Jesus lives today and lives forevermore. Oh, but I failed Him. I failed Him. Well, guess what? You're not the first. So let's look at some of those that failed Him in the past, or perhaps would have been grounds for discouraging Him in the past. I think of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, how did John the Baptist ever let Jesus down? How did John the Baptist ever perhaps discourage the Lord Jesus? Well, remember that moment when John the Baptist is in jail. And he knows it's coming. You can't keep, you know, the truth or rumors of what's coming down the road too secret or too private in jail. And no doubt he's heard Herod's going to have his head. And this is what John the Baptist didn't do. John the Baptist didn't just stick his head out the window and say, go ahead and take it. Go ahead and take it. Go ahead and take it. There was a moment when the man's knees buckled a little bit. His heart was just not quite sure. And so he sends a delegation to Jesus. Are you really the one? Because if you're not, I'm going to say so and live. But I need to know, are you the one? And what does Jesus do? Jesus takes this honest moment of trembling. And he sends words of encouragement back to John. If you want to be sure, John, here's what I'm doing. The blind see, the crippled walk, the good news is being proclaimed, the kingdom is coming. And then he turns and he lifts up John to the ear, to the other hearers who see this delegation coming to him. So maybe you are here this morning and you thought, well, maybe Jesus does not feel the same way about me anymore because there are these moments that I wonder. Well, take your wonderment to Christ and only find Him to encourage you to look more longingly at Him. You will not find His palm in your face. You will find His arms open to you and words of encouragement. Ponder me deeper still. Oh, but I've done more than just doubting, Pastor Ken. I've done more than doubting. I mean, I've turned my back. I've said things about Christ. I mean, I've turned my back on that. Did not Peter? Not just once. Not just twice. But three times. And yet, where do we see at the end of the gospel Christ's demeanor towards Peter, who was softened in his heart and had repented before the Lord? And what do we see of Christ towards Peter at that moment? Sorry, Peter, you missed the bus. You see Christ re-enlisting Peter into the ministry of proclaiming the gospel and of loving his brothers and sisters in Christ. Are you here this morning and you think that perhaps you have turned your back too far on Christ and now He is going to somehow pay you back with a cold shoulder Himself? This Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For all who repent and yield to Christ, He is willing to receive and re-enlist you into the ministry of His service. This same Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, I've never given my life to Christ, but I have sinned far too much. Certainly, Jesus cannot have my heart. Jesus cannot live in my heart. Jesus cannot rule in me. Jesus cannot receive me as a gift from the Father. Look at all my sins. Now, let's look to the prostitute, whose days were given in sinfulness, and yet encounters Christ. And Christ receives her. Oh, He is a merciful Savior, not just in the days of old. He is a merciful Savior even now for all who call upon Him. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Was He merciful to you at the moment of your belief a year ago or 5 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 years ago? He is still as merciful towards you even now and always will be. Believers in Christ, dust off Jesus in your hearts and see Him glow with radiance and glory and compassion and power for all those who believe in Him. Jesus Christ, the Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Has He ever been a friend to you? He has never ceased being a friend to you. This week, in reading a sermon by J.C. Ryle, some of you know that he's one of my favorite pastor writers and lived at the end of the 1800s in England. And there's a book that a compilation of sermons. This one's called Practical Religion. And in that sermon, entitled Best Friend, he writes this. The Lord Jesus is a friend who never changes. Have you ever had a friend who changed like that? Maybe you're in your growing up years and you have a friend who's warm with you, wants to hang out with you until someone else shows up. And then they change direction and they hang out with somebody else. Or you have a friend who is warm with you as long as you give them things. Or they're a friend with you as long as you're nice to them. But let the gift stop or let the nicety stop on a bad day and their friendship stops too. Or maybe you've been that kind of friend. What kind of friend is Jesus? The Lord Jesus is a friend who never changes. There is no fickleness about Him. Those whom He loves until the end. Husbands have been known to forsake their wives. Parents have been known to cast off their children. Human vows and promises of faithfulness have often been forgotten. Thousands have been neglected in their poverty and old age, who were honored by all when they were rich and young. But Christ never changes His feelings towards one of His friends. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are precious the moment that the Father gave you to the Son, and you are forever precious to Jesus Christ. For the way that He felt at you at that first moment that the Father gave you to the Son is the same way that He feels about you even now and always until He brings you to the Father full of joy, pure and spotless. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Was He ever patient? Was Jesus ever patient with disciples that just didn't seem to get it? Was He ever patient with disciples who always tried to change the agenda of Christ's mission? Of course He was patient. Was He ever patient with disciples who were always elbowing each other for the first spot in the kingdom? And yet He didn't turn them away. He only drew them closer to Himself to reteach them who He is and the loveliness of who He is and the issue of servitude in the kingdom. He is patient with His disciples. Do you think that Christ has lost patience with you? You don't serve the same Jesus I do. Because this word says He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I implore you, go home. Read your Gospels. Read your New Testament. Start to write down all the things that it says about Jesus. And that Jesus ain't dead. He's still alive. And He always will be. And on with the different attributes we can go on. Well, was He ever a healer? He still is. Was He ever a friend of sinners? Still is. Was He ever one to look to His disciples and say, two by two you should go? He still is. Was He ever one who cared for lost cities so that He wept over them? He still is. Was He ever one to cry out relief? All you who are weary and heavy laden, come to Me and I will give you rest. But was He ever one who looked upon His disciples and saw their weariness and said, come with Me for a while, for a time of rest? Oh, read your Gospels. He did it repeatedly with His disciples. Just come with Me and let's go have a time of rest. He still calls out to us. Are you weary with the world? Come to Me for a while and let us find rest together. This Jesus is a marvelous, merciful, wonderful Savior, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But we're not, are we? We're hot for Jesus one day or one year or one season, and then numb the next. This is why my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Not my faithfulness. If my faith is on my faithfulness, my faith is weak and dead. My faith is on Christ, who holds me and carries me and receives me to Himself. Go home. Read your New Testaments. Find the ways that Christ is described. And begin to meditate. You're going to find you're going to have about 15 years of homework ahead of you. Just take one. Just take the compassion of Christ. And chart that out. Chart that out in the Scriptures. And when you have exhausted that, then go on to the mercy of Christ. When you've gone on from that, go on to the judgeship of Christ. Though He did not come to condemn, yet all shall stand before Him as judge. Traced all that out in the Scriptures. Is He a friend of sinners? Trace all that out. Is He one who hears the cries of His people? Trace all that out. And remember, always at the top of your page to write verse 8, Jesus the Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. His attributes, He is the same. He is the same in His existence and in His attributes, power. I really didn't finish that thought. Imagine if we had a God who was forever existent, but forever decaying. How miserable would that be? Or a God who was a Lord and Savior who was forever existent, but forever forgetting things like His promises to His people and whether or not He held you. Oh, let us rejoice in the existence, the perfect eternal existence of our Savior and the perfect eternal continuation of His attributes from day to day. But let us also perhaps ponder a little bit this morning His offices. And immediately when we think of the offices, we think of king and priest and prophet. The Lord Jesus was the one who was the king over all creation before it ever began. He was on a throne and angels were attending Him. And this same Jesus was the one born King of the Jews. His very birth bursts forth a new world order. Born King of the Jews. And this same Jesus is at the right hand of the throne now and shall reign forever and ever. He is a king. This is one of the meanings of the wise men when they came and they gave their three gifts to Jesus. This issue of gold given to Jesus. It was a sign of His kingship, even as they were witnessing this young child in their midst. Jesus is also a priest. Yesterday, do we not see Him? Yesterday, do we not see Him praying in the garden? That where I am, they may be also. They shall see the glory that I had with You before time began. Oh, Father, be with them. That they may be one. Do we not see Him yesterday praying for us? That we not be of the world, though we are in the world? Do we not see the pages of Scripture, Jesus praying for us? And yet, even today, the Scriptures tell us He is at the right hand of the Father interceding for us. There is no forgotten disciple. He remembers you before the Father, encouraging you through His prayers. Not so much reminding the Father, but declaring with joy, this one's mine, this one's mine, this one's mine, this one's mine. and shall one day talk to the Father on our behalf when He brings us either through death or the consummation of the end times, and He presents us to the Father. Here are the children that You have given to Me. They shall be with Me forever. This Jesus talks to the Father on our behalf as the priest, the mediator. He is the promised deliverer. A priest delivers the sacrifice for the sins of the people. And in Genesis, is He not, in those long days of yesterday, was He not promised to be the one who would have His heel bruised even though He stamps out the serpent? Genesis 3:15, the first good news, the first element of the good news given to man in the light of their sinfulness. There would become one who would deliver them the separation and the judgment due their sins. Was this not the same deliverer that Mary and Zacharias looked at in those early chapters of Luke? And they said, this is the one promised from long ago who will deliver His people into righteousness. Even today, He is delivering men and women out of their sinfulness as they have faith in the work that He did on the cross, in which He announced, it is finished. The final work of saving and rescuing men from the judgment yet to come is done there at the cross. And men and women even now are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. We just heard this morning of a multitude in another part of the world. And I want to be bold here. There was the question asked, well, what was the man's life before? And here's the answer summarized. One man. Through one man, God uses one man for 1,000. No gospel witness. Someone goes on a vacation, witnesses to this villager. One man used to reach 1,000 for Christ. What was his life before? What was the answer? Normal. He was not a drug-crazed addict whose life was changed. He was not a murderer in prison and whose life was changed. He was a normal farmer. And God got a hold of his heart and he couldn't keep his mouth shut. And 1,000 around him came to faith. Now this is my heart cry. This room is filled with normal people who don't need any more lectures on how to share the gospel. We just need to do it. Just tell others about this Jesus and let the Holy Spirit do the rest. Because this same Jesus who sent the Holy Spirit so that the church of God may be birthed is still alive today, sending His Holy Spirit into His people so that His name may be proclaimed and His kingdom grow. I'm on the one hand extremely burdened that I've not seen that in my own life. But I am also extremely jazzed that I ain't dead yet and God could still do it. Why? Because my faith is not in a Jesus who was, and my hope is not only in a Jesus who's going to come one day to rescue me out of the world, but a Jesus who lives in me can use me even in this day for His kingdom. That's exciting. There is no magic formula for getting somebody else to believe, except that we tell them about Jesus and let the Holy Spirit convict the sinner's heart that what is said is true. That's all there is. There's no four steps. There's no perfect formula or outline for you to go through. And we need to get that into our heads. If only I knew more. If you know that Jesus Christ died as the Son of God for your sins and was raised in 3 days, that's enough. That's it. Well then, Pastor Ken, why do you think it doesn't happen? Well, I could give the right and the true answer that God is sovereign. And there are men who preach, and there are individuals who go in neighborhoods for years. They go to foreign lands, and for years they're faithful to the Word. And but I get that. I know that an answer is God is sovereign. But there's another answer. He's not sovereign over me. Some of you are looking at me saying, what do you mean by that? He's not sovereign over me. He's not my king if I never talk about him. Is he really my king if I'm ashamed to say the name of Jesus in front of others? Oh, I'll talk about church. But y'all, church doesn't save anybody. There's only one name under heaven by which man may be saved. It's not grace. It's not a denomination. It's Jesus. And it may be that the Lord, who is Lord, not just was or will be, but is Lord now, it may be that when I submit to Him, that my reputation doesn't count for anything. My standing doesn't count for anything. My job doesn't count for anything. My things do not count for anything, save Jesus be made known in me. Maybe then, in His sovereignty, I'm mindful too, the same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I don't have my head wrapped around all this yet, so I don't have a nice bow on this. And so some of you might poke a hole in what I'm about to say. And so I'm okay with that. I'm just sharing with you what's on my heart. And let the Holy Spirit sift between us what is right and what's not. Okay? But where did the power of Pentecost come from? It came from the Lord, right? And what were they doing? They were praying. The same Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So maybe the same Jesus who told His disciples to wait and to pray until the coming of the Holy Spirit. Maybe He still thinks it's a good idea that we pray for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Not the giving of the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Holy Spirit, so that when we walk out of this place, it's just natural that Jesus be on our lips. That's the pattern we see in Scriptures, that they are filled with the Holy Spirit and they went out to proclaim His name. That's the outgrowth of being filled with the Holy Spirit, is this burst of evangelism that occurs, of boldness. And y'all, you know me now after 8 years. I'm not one who tries to use the pulpit as manipulation. Y'all, where were they praying? Together. They were in one place, crying out to God, together. I would simply ask for you to consider, corporate prayer meetings to become more important in your hearts. Because this Jesus, who is the same yesterday and today and forever, used a corporate prayer meeting for Pentecost. Could it be that He is willing to use corporate prayer meetings still for the means of the expansion of His kingdom?
And then I conclude that section with, that's the part I don't have a neat tidy bow on, but that's what's on my heart as I'm reading through some of this. He is the King and the priest. The priest who talks to the Father in the past, the present, and one day will talk to Him and present us to Him, the Father. And He is the promised Deliverer, promised in the past, given to us in the past, alive now, delivering still fresh souls into the kingdom of God. It is as if, said one writer, Christ's blood as yet speaks, as if it were shed anew today. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. The virtue of it is everlasting. The cry of His blood, God daily hears it. It shall speak to Him to pacify His wrath and to pardon us. And it speaks in our conscience to cleanse it and make it quiet within us. The efficacy and virtue of it is everlasting to all those who are made of partakers of it. Meaning that if there's ever a moment when I begin to wonder about my faith, I'm only going to be reassured when I see that Jesus' blood was sufficient at Calvary. It's still sufficient now, and it will be sufficient to cleanse me and carry me to the Father until the end of my days. Only the blood of Jesus Christ, the one who is the priest, offering the sacrifice and at the same time being the sacrifice before God. This is some of the meaning of the incense that was given to Him as a child. Because the incense was burned by the priests in their priestly functions. And you may know that the myrrh that was given, though a precious spice, was also a burial spice. An awareness on the part of these wise men that Christ has come to be King and priest and yet should die. Jesus, the Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen, if it's true that the Scriptures say that in the days of old, in the book of Acts, that Jesus Christ is the only name under heaven by which men may be saved, has that changed? No, He's still the only Savior. When Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, in those days 2,000 years ago, and He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no one comes to the Father but by Me. Do we think that somehow over the past 2,000 years, that somehow He's diminished in that exclusivity of the hope of the gospel? No, He would have to take out this verse, wouldn't He? Sometimes we would like for Him to have softened His stance, because then that means our friends, our family members, who do not believe in Jesus, if maybe over time He sort of softened His stance, like an over-strict father or an over-strict mother who over time softens their decision and then relents to the child. Well, we wish that Jesus was like that sometimes. So then we would not have to be burdened by the thought of our loved ones being banished into the flames of hell. We wish it wasn't so. So then there would not be this burden in our hearts to go and proclaim Jesus as the one, the only Lord and Savior of all who call unto Him. But He is the same. This is good news for us as well. For God does not change His plans. And so it was not that God is somehow pacified by Jesus 2,000 years ago, but now He's got a new plan of saving us. And we have to figure that out all fresh and new. No, it's the same plan, the same person in whom our salvation rests. The prophet, he is the one who speaks the very Word of God, the perfect, full Word of God. We read this even in Hebrews chapter 1, in which it says in verse 2, in these last days He has spoken to us in His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things. Yes, God spoke with prophets in the past, but now He speaks through His Son. And what we need to know about God the Father, we can know perfectly through His Son. He is the King, the priest, the prophet, the one who gives us the very Word of God. But there's another office that I will extend to you. And those of you who know your theology proper, yes, I know. Theology proper, the three offices of Jesus is prophet, priest, and king. I'm just offering, not to change the whole understanding of Christ, but just Is he not also called to the office of husband? The husband of the church. The husband of the bride. And this Jesus who gave his life for his bride has not changed in his care for her and gives her all that she needs to be able to serve him as his bride. Be encouraged by that. This same husband is caring and tender and building up and purifying, all the while presenting, getting ready to present us to himself. This Jesus, the husband who died for his wife, who is raised and we have life through him, shall come and take his bride away to the marriage supper one day in eternity. And this same Jesus the Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. Why did I say Jesus? Why do I keep saying Jesus the Christ? Jesus the Christ. Jesus the Christ. As I said on Wednesday, we must remember that this Jesus, his last name is not Christ. It is his title. He is the Anointed One, given by the Father. And this Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Anointed, Jesus the King, Jesus the Priest, Jesus the Messiah, the Rescuer, the Deliverer, this Jesus, the One who rescues and rules, is the same yesterday and today and forever. There will be no other. I want us to be encouraged this morning as we look at that one verse, to go home and meditate upon that verse, to perhaps even now make confessions according to that verse. There may be a realization in our hearts this morning as we're looking at this verse. Oh, Jesus, I have left you into yesterday. I was glad for you to save my soul and rescue my sins, rescue me from the judgment due my sins, but really, I've had nothing to do with you today. I've not thought of you. I've not sung praises to you. I've not prayed to you. I've not said, today my calendar is yours. Maybe that some of us now and in the days ahead just need to confess to Christ that we have not treated Him according to the Word, the same in power and majesty and rule, in equipping and mercy and joy yesterday and today and forever. Some of us in this place perhaps need to hear this verse and to hear the words concerning the issue of salvation and be shaken a little bit that, you know what? I might wish there were another way. But Jesus said He was the only way, same yesterday, today, and forever. His resurrection still stands unchallenged by the world. No evidence to give that Jesus was not raised from the dead, just as He said that He would be. And so as we have confidence in the resurrection of Jesus, all the confidence in His promises too, for all those who believe in Him shall be raised from the dead as well. Well, maybe today is the day. Maybe today is the day that we put our faith truly and wholly in this Jesus who rescues and reigns yesterday, today, and forever. Maybe some of these words, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever, some of us need to hear these words. Because truth be told, we're very good actors. We put on very good masks when we come together. The Bible has a word for that. Literally, it's hypocrite. One who wears a mask. And this same Jesus, when you read the Gospels, you're going to see He has no kind words for hypocrites. And if He's the same yesterday, today, and forever, He still does not put up kindly with actors in the faith. Today, repent and rely on this Jesus who is willing to receive all who repented and to restore them. Be done with hypocrisy and yield again to this Jesus who is the same yesterday and today and forever. Now, I've not commented much on the forever aspect, but let me say this for us as believers. There's going to be a day when we who believe shall see with perfect vision the one we see in a mirror dimly now. Do we read our Gospels and do our hearts somewhat melt as we think of the mercy and the compassions of Christ? Think of what that will be forever and ever when the veil is fully lifted from our eyes and our hearts and we shall be with Him. Where we see in the past of Jesus where there were throngs around Him proclaiming His name, and oh yes, they got it wrong. Just they were looking for an earthly leader. But there He is, the center of worship, the center of praise. And imagine Jesus surrounded by all those who really get who He is, surrounded by every tribe and tongue and nation, praising Him forever and forever. This same Jesus who was worthy of worship in the past, is worthy of worship now, is going to be even so in the days of eternity yet to come. Think of this Jesus who has rescued you and who's going to present you to Himself. Let us long that this Jesus that we are thankful for in the past and that we are living for today also be the one that we enjoy the most seeing when the end of our days comes. This Jesus who is the center of history past, who is the center of our lives now, will be the center of our eternities as well. Notice that any time you get any one of these three elements out of the mix, the Christian life becomes unbalanced. Jesus, the same yesterday and today. We only know a thumbnail of His mercies. We shall know them fully forever. Oh, we only know a thumbnail of His glories now. We shall know them fully in the age yet to come. We know only a thumbnail of His pleasure in us. And we shall know that forever fully when we are with Him. This Jesus who came to give life and life abundant holds out that life now and He holds it out for fullness in the days yet to come. This Jesus, may He be the center. May He be the glaring, glorious, glowing center of our lives. This Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's take our worship guides and let's worship this one of whom we have read and thought of and meditate upon. Let us stand together and let us sing unto our Jesus.